There are a lot of things that you must remember to do, and as a landlord, you are often responsible for far more than you may think when it comes to your residents' safety and well-being. In today's podcast, we'll cover the often misunderstood topic of whether or not you are responsible for the safety of your tenants, and if so, how. Stay tuned, and we'll get started in just a minute. Hi everybody, my name is Chris, and I want to thank you for joining us for another value-packed Tenant Cloud podcast. If you want to be a more informed, better educated, and successful landlord, then stay tuned. With over a decade of property management experience, we bring you short and sweet, bite-sized pieces of incredibly valuable property management tidbits in 15 minutes or less. Hi, everybody. I just want to thank you for joining us again today for another value-packed Tenant Cloud podcast. And this one you definitely don't want to miss out on because I'm going to provide a lot of information that I did not know when I started out as a landlord. And there are still quite a few landlords out there who don't know exactly to what extent they are actually responsible for their tenants' safety and well-being while they are a tenant at your property. And most people think of this topic as, okay, well, if their house gets broken into or they get burglarized or robbed or whatever in their rental, I'm not responsible for that, obviously, because I can't control crime. And while that may be true, there are things that you are responsible for in some of those events if you did not take the necessary steps in your responsibilities as a landlord to try to prevent those things. And so I'm going to cover some of those things here real quick. You might say, well, if there's a fire, that's an act of God, or they lit the house on fire because they left food on the stove, or they turned on a gas appliance without lighting the flame and it built up with carbon monoxide and that's what hurt them, or so on and so forth. But while those things in and of themselves may be true, there are things that you need to have in place as preventative measures that you as a landlord are very often responsible for depending on the state and area you are in. And in most areas, you are responsible for most of these things. So before we go on too much further and drag this podcast out longer than it needs to be, I'm going to jump right in and start going over these things that, again, a lot of people are simply not aware of that you as a landlord are actually responsible for in most areas of the country. The first thing that you are responsible for, and this is, in my opinion, one of the most important things, is smoke detectors. You as a landlord are responsible for smoke detectors in most places. And again, a lot of these things are going to be applicable no matter where you are as a landlord in the United States. Obviously, you'll want to check with these things in your area, but pretty much everything I'm going to go over is just stuff that you should be taking care of anyway, regardless of whether it's actually required by law in your area or not. A lot of these things are just preventative measures. They're things that can help literally save people's lives in the event that something does happen. So, again, number one, smoke detectors. It is extremely important that you have smoke detectors installed. It's important that they are installed correctly, and it is important that they are tested on a routine basis. And so you've heard us talk about in a lot of podcasts about how it's important to schedule routine inspections at your rental. This is one of those things that should be at the top of the list when you go do those inspections, that you check on the smoke detectors and make sure they're working. If they're battery operated, you should change out the batteries every time you do an inspection on the rental, especially if that's like a quarterly inspection. I believe they recommend that you replace them, at least the batteries, at least once a year. I would go a step further and say 2 to 4 times a year. Smoke detectors also need to be installed in all the right places. In most places, it's required that you have a smoke detector in every single room of the rental. That includes the bedrooms, the bathrooms, the dining rooms, the living rooms, the kitchens, everywhere. You need to have a smoke detector in every room. And in most places, it's required that you have a smoke detector in every hallway that connects different rooms. And it's even better if you can get smoke detectors that are connected throughout the house. They're on a network. That way, if you're upstairs and you have a 2-story or 3-story building and there's a fire on the first floor, your smoke detector in your bedroom, if you're on the 3rd floor or 2nd floor, might not be going off, and the one downstairs might be going off. And depending on how insulated and how well the sound barriers are in your house, you may not hear that downstairs smoke detector going off up in the bedroom. And so if you can have a connected network of smoke detectors, that's even better, because then no matter which one is going off, it's going to start sounding all of them off based on a network of smoke detectors communicating through the house, like, hey, there's a fire and it's spreading. So this is extremely important. If there is a fire in your rental and you do not have smoke detectors and you have not checked the batteries and you do not have a record of that and your lease or your area requires that you as a landlord maintain those, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to understand how bad that could be for you. So again, make sure that you have your smoke detectors tested, installed correctly, and installed in all of the correct places. Number two, equally as important, carbon monoxide detectors when you have gas appliances or gas features in the unit, such as gas fireplaces, gas heaters, gas stoves, anything that has natural gas in your apartment or puts off carbon monoxide or has a risk of putting off carbon monoxide, including many gas furnaces or gas-operated HVAC systems, you need to have carbon monoxide detectors inside of your rental, and you need to make sure that your the setup is according to your current code if it's not grandfathered in. For instance, some of my rental properties had HVAC systems where they were operated by natural gas. And so it was important that we brought those up to code. They were not always up to code when we would buy the property. And so we would have to modify the venting system and whatnot to make sure that it was actually vented properly before we could start renting out the property. So it's important that if you do have any type of natural gas at your property, that you have a carbon monoxide detector installed in all the correct places, just like smoke detectors. And same thing, all of the same rules typically apply. You need to make sure that you are inspecting it to make sure that they work on a regular basis. If they're battery operated, you need to make sure that you are changing them out on a regular basis. And you need to make sure they are installed correctly and installed in all of the right places. It's also important to understand how carbon monoxide works and in relationship to oxygen and how people are caught off guard when carbon monoxide poisoning is actually taking place. And that is part of understanding how to correctly install them. So you want to make sure you're paying very close attention to the instructions on the device that you buy and make sure that you are installing it correctly so that it is optimized to detect carbon monoxide as early as possible to prevent anything from happening. Again, if you have a property with natural gas and you do not have a carbon monoxide detector, or your lease or your area states that you are responsible for maintaining that device and you have not and you have no proof of that, then if something does happen, again, it could be very bad for a landlord who is responsible for those things. So it's very, very, very important that you pay attention to these two things. They're very key to making sure that you are providing a safe environment for your tenant to live in, especially if you are the one who is responsible for those things. Three, keyless deadbolts. This one caught me off guard as a young landlord when I was first starting out. I was not aware that my area at the time required that not only did the door have a keyed entry, but it also required that it had a keyless deadbolt from the inside only, meaning the deadbolt could only be accessed via that little knob on the inside of the door, but there was no key on the opposite side of the door to unlock it. And the purpose of that is for when you get inside of your rental unit, you can turn around, flip that little lock, the deadbolt, and nobody can try to unlock it from outside. There is no key access to it. They would literally have to kick your door in or drill it out or whatever. And so I was not aware as a young landlord that this was something that was required, and they do not typically come standard on new doors. So when you are doing renovations like I was at the time, then you are responsible for installing those, even if the door doesn't come with it as a standard thing. And so I did not realize that. Thankfully, nothing ever happened. I actually had a tenant that informed me when they moved in, hey, I don't have a deadbolt. It's required by law. Can you please come and install it? And so thankfully that tenant didn't make a big deal of it, and we went and installed it literally within 24 hours or less. I looked up the statute on it, and sure enough, I as a landlord was responsible for making sure that that door had a keyless deadbolt. That is a safety issue, and there is a reason that that law exists in my area, and so it's something that you want to make sure you are following in your area. Make sure that you are following all the laws regarding keys, deadbolts, keyless locks, and so on and so forth. Anything that involves securing the door, because again, if something happens and that was not there on that door and you as a landlord are responsible for that, and something happened because that wasn't there or that could have prevented something from happening, could land you in some hot water. So again, make sure you're paying attention to doors and locks. Very important. Same vein along the lines of keyless deadbolts, you want to make sure that when it comes to keyed locks, that you are changing your lock every time a tenant moves out and before a new tenant moves in. As a general rule of thumb, after a tenant moves out, you typically change the lock that day because you do not want somebody coming back in who maybe they gave a key or a copy of a key to, maybe a friend or an ex or something, anything at all. There are plenty of stories you can read about where a landlord did not change the lock, the current tenant moved out, and somebody gave a key to, maybe an ex or something came and just wrecked the place because they were angry at their ex or whatever. So it is very important that you change locks on the door the minute your current tenant moves out of the rental and turns in their keys. Second of all, if you have contractors that you give a copy of the key to between the old tenant and the new tenant moving in, you need to change the locks a second time before the tenant moves in, because again, you want to make sure that nobody has had that key except for the current tenant who is living at the rental. This is very important because there have been times when people have made copies of keys and then broken into the rental unit later on. And the landlord in that situation is probably going to be at fault because the landlord did not change the key after they had given it to multiple other people or even one other person who is not on the actual lease when the new tenant moves in. So it's very important that you, one, change the lock when the current tenant moves out, and two, change the lock again if a new tenant moves in and anybody else has had access to that key prior to that tenant moving in other than your management team. Moving on to number five, peepholes in new doors. Again, this is something as a young landlord I did not realize was required in the areas that I was managing rentals. And a tenant, again, in this situation brought it to my attention that they did not have a peephole in their door and that it was required by law in my area. And so we promptly installed a peephole in their door that same day. These are things that I wish I had known early on because, again, if anything were to happen and there was not a peephole in the door and the tenant could not see out the door to see who was knocking on the door or to look out their door to make sure that nobody was outside if they were leaving in the morning, any of those things at all, there's 1,000 scenarios that could play out. And if you don't have a peephole in the door, that could be a serious problem if it's required by law in your area for you as a landlord to provide it. It's important to note that peepholes typically do not come in new doors, just like keyless deadbolts typically do not come in new doors. In fact, a lot of times, just locks in general, or even the hole to put a lock, do not necessarily come on new doors. In fact, a lot of doors just come as a slab. And so depending on where you're ordering it from and who is installing it, you do want to make sure that these things are done before the new tenant moves in. And so it's important to add these things to your new move-in checklist to make sure that every time somebody moves in, all of these things are not only there, but that they're actually working, because they also need to be working. The sixth thing, moving on, is all windows must have working functional locks that allow tenants to secure them, but also to escape during a fire, which means that, again, the lock has to be functional on the windows. It can't be something that you have permanently locked or sealed the window. That will not fly, because in the event of a fire, a tenant has to be able to open the window and get out of that window. And so it's important that you make sure that you check all of your windows on a regular basis to make sure that locks are working and that they both secure the window and that they can be undone so that the window can be opened in the event of an emergency and the tenant needs to escape out the window. All of these things around locks and deadbolts and peepholes, these are all security features of a rental that most areas, again, do require. So it's important for you to be familiar with your local code and your state laws to make sure that you are providing all of these things as is required in your area. A lot of areas do allow you to use those thumb locks in the event that your window is old and the locks maybe aren't working. As long as you can open the window, a lot of areas do allow you to use thumb locks to lock the windows, because even though it takes a little bit longer to get them undone because you have to unscrew them, a lot of areas do allow them as a substitute for non-functioning locks. But again, that's something you'll want to look into in your area to make sure that's something that's acceptable to use. Otherwise, this is so important that you need to put the money into fixing the windows or replacing them entirely if the locks are not functioning. Moving on to the next item, you want to make sure that if you have a chimney in your rental, that you clean the chimney at least once per year at a minimum. Usually once a year is sufficient, depending on the area that you are in and how frequently the fireplace is used in your area. But it is important that you have it cleaned out on a regular basis, because otherwise it could cause a chimney fire or a blockage in the chimney could take place. And so it is very important that this is done on a regular basis. And I typically recommend that even if you know how to do it yourself, that you have a professional do it, an actual chimney sweep, because then you have somebody who is actually trained and or licensed in doing that thing. And they can provide you with written documentation that they have done it. And it's just much easier to prove that it is being done. It can cause a chimney fire if it's not, which can obviously cause damage to your rental. But things can happen with a chimney fire or chimney blockage that can also affect your tenants. And so again, if this is something that is required to be maintained by the landlord in your area, or your lease states that you as the landlord are responsible for it, it's extremely important that you are doing that thing. Alternatively, even if your tenant is the one who is responsible for it because they are the resident of your rental, you do need to add this to your inspection list each quarter or each year, because you don't want the tenant being responsible for your rental property that you are earning a income from. You want to make sure that they are doing it. You don't want to just count on the fact that they are actually doing it. Moving on to the next one, you do want to make sure that, especially as we're approaching the cooler months of the year, that you are de-icing walkways, staircases, and parking lots, especially if it is any type of a multifamily rental or a duplex, triplex, fourplex, etc. Because again, these things typically fall in common areas. They typically fall on the lap of the landlord as far as responsibility for maintaining these things. So if you as a landlord are responsible for these areas, it's important that you put a focus on doing these things. I have had situations where the staircases, after a freezing rain or something like that, that the staircases froze over. And so in those cases, if you even know that there is really bad weather coming like that, you need to send out a notice to your tenants where it tells them, hey, there's going to be freezing rain overnight or whenever, and please use caution on all staircases and stairways, and so on and so forth. And if you can, you need to get out there right away and put down something to de-ice the staircases and railways and walkways and parking lots, because you just don't want to risk having an accident on your rental property. Even if those things would be considered an act of God or whatever it may be, you need to make sure you're taking the preventative steps to make sure that there aren't any injuries on your property as much as possible. And so putting down salt or de-icing stuff to de-ice the areas, the common areas, is always a great idea. In addition to, I always make sure I send out a notice to my tenants anytime I know that something like that is going to be happening, just as a friendly reminder, hey, when you wake up, you walk out the door, you're going to be busy with your routine, you're not going to think about it, but you need to be careful when you walk out your door because you might slip and fall. Right along those lines of de-icing and things like that and bad weather, you also want to make sure that during the fall, if you have staircases that you, and there are a lot of trees in the area, that you notify your tenants that, hey, keep in mind that if there are leaves that have fallen onto your staircase or your landing or your sidewalks, that they can often be slippery, especially first thing in the morning. In Austin, Texas, I had a property I was managing a couple years ago where the leaves fell onto all the steps on the property. And I was walking up to go inspect a rental unit from when somebody had moved out. And as I was walking up the steps, I slipped and smashed my leg against the steps, and it was incredibly painful. I could have easily broken something. Thankfully, I didn't. But right then and there, I was like, wow. And then I started looking around. All the steps all around my property were covered with slick, wet leaves in the morning. And so I immediately had my maintenance team go out there with some blowers and blow them all off, get all the leaves off the steps. And we started doing that. We had our landscaping team do that every week from then on, every time they came out to the property, blow off all the steps. And so stuff like that is stuff you don't really think about, but it's still important to try to keep in mind that stuff like that can become very dangerous very quickly. And so even if it's not really a liability thing per se, because again, you can't control if trees are dropping leaves on your steps or not, it is important to just pay attention to those things and try to be proactive and help protect people from having an accident like that. The other thing along those lines is you also want to make sure that your gutters are not getting clogged up in the fall, especially as you come into the winter, because the colder it gets when you have rains, the rain needs to be able to drain properly off of your roofs and not form icicles that can then turn out to be extremely dangerous for people walking on sidewalks underneath of the edges of the roof. And so, again, not something that you might typically think about as being a important safety thing, but it is extremely important because those icicles can become extremely dangerous. And so you want to make sure that you are checking your gutters, especially during the fall, to make sure that you are keeping them cleaned out probably once at least per fall. Maybe even a couple times if you have a lot of trees, if you're in an area with a ton of trees where the leaves are falling off and you're risking them clogging up your gutters, you're going to want to keep an eye on that and make sure they're cleaned out. And also not just because it could form icicles, but other things. You don't want water dripping off the gutters because it built up, or backing up in the gutters and then running inside the building from the edge of the building and rotting the wood along the eaves and all that good stuff. So, and along the fascia, all that, you don't want to deal with that. That's just adding more expense and unnecessary headaches that you just don't want to have to deal with. So checking your gutters is extremely important. As an added bonus, and this is the final thing, we've gone over our time here on this podcast. We try to keep them under 15 minutes. But as an added bonus, security systems these days have become pretty cheap, and you can set up wireless security systems for pennies on the dollar. I even have a alarm system at my place that costs nothing up front, and it's like $23 a month for everything, the equipment and the monitoring. You can't beat that these days. It's become so affordable, and you can add cameras to it. You can have sensors on all the access points. It's just an added bonus, and a lot of people, it's actually something that a lot of people ask if you have in your rental. So it's also a good selling point. It's also a good thing to usually get some type of a deduction on your renter's insurance or on your property insurance in general. So, and then it's even better because now security systems incorporate the entire security system in the house. They can incorporate and connect with carbon monoxide detectors, smoke detectors, all of that stuff. You can incorporate and connect into this network. They even have flood sensors now, so that these sensors you can put underneath like sinks and near bathrooms to detect if water is pooling up on the floor or in the area that the sensor is located in. And it can even send a notice to you or even to an emergency department to come out to the property if there's fire, flood, smoke, carbon monoxide, etc. And so it's just a good thing to put in your property. It's really affordable now. The system I have, I can also connect carbon monoxide, smoke detectors, and water flood detectors. I don't have the flood detectors connected just because I don't need it at my property, but These things are really affordable now, and it just makes a lot of sense to add these things. And they're all wireless, so there's no running, installing wires or any of that stuff. So if you have the ability to do it, I highly recommend it. It's a good selling point. It's a good discount thing for insurances, and it's just good to have for everybody anyway. That pretty much wraps up our podcast today. I hope that you have found value in it, and if so, please feel free to let any of your friends, coworkers, family members know about this podcast. Feel free to share it with them. They can listen to this podcast anywhere that you listen to podcasts, whether that's Stitcher, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, etc. And again, thanks for listening, and we'll look forward to talking with you next time.